Coming to you live from the Jim Butler Ballroom at the Mitzvah Hotel, it's time for another commute with your hosts, Faye and Brenda. This is Drive Time to Nova.
I'm the Faye driver.
I'm Brenda Boo.
Welcome back to another episode of Drive Time to Nova.
How are you doing today, Faye?
I'm doing pretty good. We're having a lovely day. It's sunny here.
Mm-hmm.
You're visiting. We've been out and about doing a little bit of chores, but only a small number of chores.
Not without its...
I don't want to talk about it.
Alrighty then. So, Faye, I told you earlier when we were out driving around that I wanted you to check out the show on Netflix. It's called Oh, Hello.
Oh, Hello.
And it's based on these characters made up by Nick Kroll and John Mulaney. And it was originally on the Nick Kroll show, which is on Comedy Central, I guess. But I watched it on a different channel. Anyway, so it's these two old guys. And they're supposed to be, like, eccentric and and everything. But in the special, they, like, describe the characters that they are through the characters. So at the beginning, you know, they're talking about, like, I'm the kind of person you would see going through coats at a party.
Ah,
stuff like that.
I see, yeah.
Well, another thing that they did was, so you're at a theater. You're here at the theater. Let's talk about behavior. If you've got a cell phone, use it. Make all the calls you need. If you need to put your coat on the chair next to you, take as much space as you need. And if you're hungry and you haven't had a meal, eat. Go ahead, do whatever you want. And then what Nick goes, and if you need a little candy and you got a little low blood sugar, make sure you open your crinkly wrappers as slow as possible. Because you think it won't make very much noise, but the longer you do it, the more noise it is. So, I thought that was a good intro, because you're always mad at me because of my crinkly paper.
Your crinkly papers when we're recording. Mm-hmm. Primarily when we're recording.
Mm-hmm.
You always got to get out the crinkly papers.
From
your pocket.
Which is called...
The pocket candy.
Pocket candy. It's a very good name for it.
Yes.
Brenda, I always have suckums.
Brenda's always got some pocket candy.
I call them suckums.
Right.
Which is kind of...
That's a little bit vulgar.
Depends on how you think of what you're sucking.
Oh, okay. Let's carry on.
So I see you have some agenda.
Well, I know you're going to be asking me about some certain activities that are going on in my life. So I've been making some notes about my...
Feelings?
Feelings, yes.
Your favorite. All right,
talk about feelings today. Brenda's back. We're going to talk about our feelings.
So I have my... What's the word?
Agenda?
No, I mean the... I have my cards here.
Yes.
Any good interviewer has some
recipe
index
cards. Index cards.
For notes.
Right.
I feel like Johnny Carson. All right. So, Faye, you talked on your last private episode about being trained as a fireman.
Right.
And you gave us a lot of the details. But now I want to go under the details and talk about your feelings about all this stuff, because I can tell this is not your normal transition. Like, normally when you get, there's a bump in the road for you, you go, ugh, and then you immediately pick yourself back up and you're on the road and you're like, okay, how do we fix this? I don't feel like you're getting up over this bump.
Yeah, this is a long bump.
Yeah.
There's been a long transition. It's been I have to say, honestly, it's been a difficult 3 months. It's basically since the beginning of March of 2017.
Yeah.
We're now into the middle of June. And the bosses want a decision from me in the next 10 days. Where do you want to work? Do you want to be a fireman? Or do you want to work in prevention and education? So... I've had the opportunity to work on both sides, both as a fireman, which we've heard about, which was a very exciting, and I learned a lot of things in the few days that I was doing that job, doing that shadowing. And I've also had the opportunity to work in the prevention division, fire prevention, we call it. So it's two very difficult, different places to work.
Couldn't be more opposite ends of the spectrum, yeah. Right? It's like if somebody was coming in and they said, hey, I want to be part of the fire department. Can you tell me where I might fit in? And you're like, well, you could be sit behind a desk and be fire prevention, or you could go the other extreme and be a fireman.
Right.
And you had this nice, cushy gig right in the middle. You
yep.
sat at the desk. You had the excitement of being on the periphery of all these things.
Yeah.
And a lot of responsibility. You felt a lot of responsibility towards the firemen and your coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure that they had enough trucks that they needed. And, you were very conscientious about
right.
your job.
Safety, giving them the resources they need to deal with the situations that we're sending them into with, at a moment's notice. So I've been agonizing. I've not just been thinking about where to go, which way to go at the end of this current job, dispatching. But I've been agonizing over it, and it's not been an easy decision to make. And I will tell you today, I have made a decision.
You have?
And I know where I'm going to go.
Where are you going to go?
Before I get to that.
Ooh, suspense.
Let's talk about some other things.
Are you going to wait till the very end?
No, I don't know. We'll see. I think, part of this process is that I have to mourn the loss of this job that I currently have.
Right.
And that has been maybe interfering with my ability to make the decision about whether to go the easy route or the difficult route. The difficult route would be becoming a fireman, because it's going to take a lot of education, it's going to take a lot of physical training, exercise, etc. And it'll be a year of training on the job. There goes Max. to get a start on it.
Plus you're not 25.
Exactly. It is a young man's game as well. And the opposite end of the scale is it's kind of a boring job going to fire prevention. In a way, but it's steady work. You have a defined set of responsibilities. You're not working night shifts. There's all kinds of reasons that would be easier to go into the office job, as some of us are calling it. So probably the most difficult thing that's been influencing my decision is having to leave the team of coworkers that I've built up relationships with over the last 7 years. There, I felt I had to have a certain period of time to prove myself to the group, and that had occurred, and I've won all those battles, I've made all those friends, and I've gotten a little bit close to many of these people, and I enjoy working with them, and they enjoy working with me, and they've really made me feel like part of a team. So there's a lot of emotion tied up in that. So, and I'm also getting from that group of people a lot of encouragement from them saying, you can do it. We'll help you. Come join us. Come be a fireman. We'll do it together,
That means a lot, I would think.
Absolutely. So It's a lot to think about. So for the last 3 months, I've been in this fog of uncertainty about what to do. And I think I've made, you know, at various points throughout this journey, I've made a decision. I'm going to do this. And I sit on it for a while and I contemplate it. And then I get uncertain about that. And I go, I think I'll change my mind. I want to go do the other thing. So there's been a lot of flip-flopping. And even up to the point about 3-4 days ago where I made my final decision, even after that point, I'm still uncertain that that's the decision I've made is the right way to go. And I don't think I'll ever be happy with the decision that I've made.
Yeah.
Whether it was option A or option B, I think there will always be, I shoulda, hadda, oughta done the other thing.
Right. Well, you're trying to make the best of a bad situation. And generally when you're going into something where you're like, I don't like either one of my choices 100%, then you never really feel like, this is as happy as I could be, right?
That's right.
I mean, my job, I'm not happy with it, but there's days I'm okay with it. And I feel like you've never been in that situation with your job that you have now. Like, you pretty much always like it.
Yes.
And now I feel like you're going into a situation now where you're either going to be like, with the office type job, you'll be like with me, like some days are better, but then some days you just plain old hate it.
Right.
And the fireman is going to really push a lot of buttons and there's a lot of unknown territory for you.
Yes.
And are you up for it? I mean, you're 50. I'm 53. I'm not throwing you under the bus.
No, I know.
But
no, that's absolutely, and that's a primary factor in deciding about whether I should do this or not. And that's one of the most limiting factors about this decision is my age and my ability to physically do the work. And I found when I was actually doing the job for those few days that it was definitely taxing. There's no doubt about it. You need to be a fit and strong individual to do this job. But I was surprised to learn that I had some minimal capability to perform the tasks. I could perform the tasks, but absolutely not to the level that a real fireman and a real strong, young, able-bodied person could. But it was a learning experience for me to, and I was somewhat surprised to find that I can actually, that I could probably do this job if I put my mind to it, which was really frustrating because I thought I would go into that fireman job, the job sharing, and go, oh yeah, I am way too feeble. There's no bloody way I could do this job.
Right.
And I thought, oh, good, now I know I've made the right decision. I'll go work in the office, and I won't have any second thoughts about it. But unfortunately, I found that it's feasible.
Right. And then, you know, think about all the little towns that, I don't even know if they still do this, but my uncle was a volunteer fireman for years and years, and he certainly wasn't, you know, even as fit as you are.
Right.
So, I mean, there are different levels of participation in putting out a fire, I would imagine.
That's right, yeah.
They might not take the oldest person and say, listen, run up that 7-story building and put that fire out. We'll be down here waiting for you.
Right. And you're right. And I know for a fact that there would be a lot of, air quotes, allowances, an un-air quote, for my physical ability on the job. And it's a team environment. And the boys say it all the time. We know who's good at what and who does who can do, who can and can't do this or that, and we compensate that, and we help each other out, right?
Right, because at some point, their lives could be depending on each other, having each other's back. And I can see where that would be something that at another time in your life, looking back on it, like, wow, I'm glad I had that experience.
Right. So some of the other things, so getting back to this mourning the loss of this job, part of the, probably the most difficult part about this entire experience is that I've been doing this job in one form or another for about 14 years, maybe a little longer, and I really enjoyed this type of work, and I was very good at it. I was even better at it 5 years ago than I am right now. And it's very exciting. There's all these sort of really life, work, balance, job satisfaction aspects to doing this work that ticked a lot of boxes for me. So part of the problem I'm having is now I'm being told, we're taking that away from you. You can't do your favorite thing anymore. You can't do the thing you've been studying and practicing for the last 14 years any longer. You got to go do something else. So thinking of all the experiences that I've had in the last 14 years and the things I've learned and the, you know, some of the sketchy situations I've been in on the other side of the radio, or sitting at the dispatching computer, it's been a very fulfilling career. And I look back on that and go, you know, it's being taken all away. And it's, that's having a major effect on me.
Yeah.
So I'm trying. So, you know, being in this fog of uncertainty for 3 months, I'm so tired of not knowing what's going to happen, right, and what I'm going to do. I'm very frustrated now, you know, to a point. And now I'm thinking, I don't care what I end up doing. I just don't want to have to think about it anymore.
Right. Well, you're a man who plans out every single day of his life. The fact that you've been sitting on it for this long, I can see the frustration. I see it in your eyes that you're just exhausted. And it almost feels like if they'd given you less time,
right,
to make a decision, it would have been easier on you.
That's probably correct.
That Band-Aid has been hanging on for a long time, and it's got the last few hairs, and you know, like, okay, I'm going to pull it, it's going to fucking hurt.
Yes, precisely. So, having gotten tired of this mourning, the sadness that I've been experiencing, somewhat profound sadness, I have to say, I can't live my life like this, in this state, and I refuse to be in this emotional ditch any longer.
Mm-hmm.
So I've made my decision.
Yes.
I'm going to go and work in fire prevention and education.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So that's the office job. It's no longer shift work. It's Monday to Friday, normal, regular office hours.
Yeah.
And it's not running into burning buildings or jumping on the truck, going lights and sirens somewhere, which was a lot of fun. And hanging out with the boys all the time.
But you got the two D's. Don't you have two coworkers with the first name starts with a D?
I do. I got the two
D's.
So you
got the double D's. Some might think that's pretty exciting.
Right. I'll have a whole set of different set of people to work with. And I'm going to make the best of it. So now that we've gone through all of this state of depression, There's only one more, item in the in the morning.
Right, acceptance.
It's the acceptance.
Yeah.
So now I just have to get through the acceptance that this is happening, and I'm working on it. I'm not through it. The fact that I've chosen a job doesn't mean I have accepted it, but we're in that step right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say, I am extremely lucky in the fact that even though they've said to me, we're taking away your job, you won't be doing this work any longer, that could be devastating. But fortunately for me, I did have an option. I had one of two very good options to choose from to carry on my career with the city that I work for. And I'm so grateful for that, because many people don't have that choice. So, as much as I've been feeling sorry for myself about losing my job, I still have a job, and I will have a job for as long as I can stand it. So I'm grateful for that. Now the time is to get over myself, get over the loss of this excellent job, and start learning my new job, get into the groove, and do that as well as I can.
Yes. Very nicely put. Congratulations on deciding.
Thank you.
I think my 2 cents worth is it's probably the more practical of the two. And then, you know, your loved ones won't be worrying about you dying at a desk so much as they might otherwise.
Right.
And you had said to me when we first started chatting that at some point you didn't even know how feasible doing these 14-hour shifts anymore was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you kind of hinted at that 5 years ago you were doing a little bit better at this job than
yes.
you were now. Is that part of it?
Yeah, there is. I mean, you know, there's silver lining in this cloud too. I agree. I wouldn't have been able to carry on much longer, maybe a couple more years, doing this job. So it's not the worst thing in the world that I'm losing this job, because it too is kind of psychologically and somewhat, well, mentally, it's mentally taxing, working nights all the time. It's hard on the family, because I don't spend as much time as I could have with my spouse. It's hard on personal friendships, because the rest of the world works a 5-day week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've lost many friends because I can't come out on a Friday night because I'm working night shift to go party with the boys. So there are certain benefits to moving back to a normal work week environment.
Mm-hmm. You'll be, the biggest thing I thought that would be upsetting to you is, and you had kind of hinted at it one day, is about your autonomy, having the freedom.
Yes.
To, you know, hang out with me for the day. That's one thing.
Right.
Doing all your stuff on the weekends when everybody else is doing their stuff.
Yes.
That doesn't, you know, that's not appealing, especially around here. There's so many goddamn people.
Yes, truly.
Now, I think you might have answered a bunch of my questions. Since you had started out as a young person wanting to be a pilot, and you told me, I don't know if we talked about it, but one of the biggest reasons you stopped that was because in order to get your pilot's license, you had to have so many hours in the air under your belt.
Yes.
And it simply was not
financially difficult to do unless you were able to. Yeah, it's hard to do.
So, like, learning the actual skills of flying a helicopter or a plane, that wasn't the challenge. The challenge was actually getting enough experience.
Accumulating the experience, yes.
Because nobody's just saying, take the airplane, we'll fill it up for free, have at it.
Yeah. You either have to own an airplane, or you have to rent one, which is quite expensive, or have a friend or work out some sort of a deal with people where you can get easy access to a plane to build up your hours. And that's just, it's pretty complicated. You have to have X number of hours before you can actually start training as a commercial pilot. Then you get your commercial pilot's license, and then you go walking around with your resume. Well, how many hours do you have? I have the bare minimum because I just graduated school. So I have less than 1,000 hours. You know, that makes for it's difficult to get hired as a commercial pilot.
Mm-hmm. So that's a very specific field, too.
Yeah.
Has this upheaval in your job made you think back about that decision to give it up? Have you thought about that at all?
No.
You reconciled that a long time ago?
I did. And, you know, I had a very interesting work life. I've had several different types of jobs. And when I was younger, I changed jobs all the time. This isn't a new and scary experience for me, moving to a new job. I'm quite used to completely changing my focus and taking on some other different challenge or task. So I don't have any qualms about taking on a job that I know nothing about, because I've done this several times in my life. So this is normal for me, I would consider.
Well, I assert to you that even though when you job shadowed the fire prevention coworkers, and you said it was felt very boring, I feel like... what's a dog hair? I feel like once you're doing it on your own, it's going to be better.
Absolutely.
You're going to get to know people that you... in amongst the people in the community...
Yes.
I'm sure there'll be regulars. You won't have to be around the double Ds all the time. You'll be autonomous from them, I assume.
That's correct.
And, you know, you may find that you even have more energy than... Like, right now, you kind of live your life... you're always pushing yourself. Like, you have 4 days off in a row, and then you come in, you work 2 days, and then you work two nights. And there's been a lot of times when that last shift ends, you're like, unlike normal humans who just go home and sleep the day away, you just push on through.
Yes.
So I feel like maybe you're going to get more sleep, maybe? More, like, could be, maybe you feel more rested?
Maybe.
Maybe. And that, you know... I would think that would take a toll on you physically.
But maybe that's why I'm so fit and svelte, because I've just...
Because you're sleep-deprived?
I'm sleep-deprived and I never stop.
Well, sleep deprivation is not a thing that's going to add to your health, that's for sure.
I don't think I'm sleep-deprived. I just sleep when... differently.
Yes. Occasionally. I wonder, too, like, you say you can't sleep... If there's sounds around, I'm wondering sometimes if you will sleep better because, I mean, you've said that you kind of nod off at work sometimes.
Right.
So, I mean, your body's like always keen to noises. Maybe that will cool down too. Yeah. Well, I want to have some more questions. So when I first moved up here 3 years ago, people said, oh, Brenda, you're so brave. And I was like, and you even said to me, I don't know, I can't figure out if you're brave or you're resilient or desperate. That's what you said.
And I like resilient better.
Yeah, I do too. but I think it was desperation. So, and I remember thinking, I don't feel brave. I feel scared all the time. And I happened to be listening to the CBC yesterday.
Oh, yes. Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
And they were interviewing a lady about a book she'd written. And she had experienced a lot of stuff, thank God, I've never gone through. But the interviewer said, well, something like, you should feel proud of yourself. You're really brave. And she says, I don't feel brave, but I guess I feel resilient.
Ah, mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the way I feel about myself. I don't feel I'm brave at all. I mean, I'm bald and I feel weak and scared all the time. But I guess I do feel resilient. Do you feel either one of those or both of those? What do you think about what you've been going through? Like, do you feel like, is this enough to drag you down? Like you were talking about 3 months of depression.
Yeah.
Can you make the best of it?
No, this isn't going to drag me down. This, now that I know, the thing that was so difficult for me was the uncertainty about which way to go. Both choices were good choices and terrible choices. So it was, you know, it was difficult to figure out the pros and cons of each of these things. So that was really getting to me. Now that I know, rightly or wrongly, which side of the wall I'm going to, I will have peace. I can prepare for the challenges that are going to come with that job, and I can get on with my life and get back to doing the things that bring me joy. And
what haven't you been doing?
Well, I guess I've still been, I haven't, my zest for life has been scrubbed away a little bit, and I'm tired of being unsettled about things. I don't like being unsettled. I want to laugh at the world and find, I want to have joy in my life. I want to be happy and carefree. And when you have the weight of the world on your shoulders, it's difficult to be like that.
Right.
So
I have another question that leads up nicely for what you just said. So something happened earlier today, apparently, that we can't talk about. No. And
it's the goddamn BMW. Won't start.
So we were stuck momentarily in the parking lot. It did end up starting. But I know that when I'm feeling unduly stressed, like this kind of low level, always under the surface, something rumbling is going on, right? Mm-hmm. Like with you, I gotta make this decision. I don't wanna make this decision, just like the stuff that's always kind of in the back of your head. That when shit like that happens, where the car doesn't start, it takes on this huge life. Like, oh fuck, now I gotta deal with this on top of all this other bullshit, now my car won't start. God damn it, I was planning on doing that. Were you feeling like that? Have you found that in these last 3 months that, like, challenges that would pop up felt more overwhelming than they would have in the past?
Funny you should ask that.
Oh, thank you.
Here's the situation for me. I have this evil temper inside of me.
No. What are you talking about? You're just a teddy bear.
And that little evil teddy bear can jump out and take control of my body in an instant. It could be anything that will make me snap and I lose my temper.
I've seen it.
And I actually, you know, I can be a little bit violent. I can break things and throw things. And
well, then you know you're a man if you can do that.
Right.
All men break things when they're mad.
So,
was the last thing you broke? What was the last thing you broke, Faith?
I was beating the crap out of my printer this morning because it pisses me off all the time. I hate that printer.
Yes.
So, I had a little session with the printer this morning and I feel much better.
Well, good for you.
But I don't find in that while all of this was going on that I was any more hot-headed or prone to cracking.
Can I ask you, just on your talking about anger, like, I try to keep, I know everybody thinks that I'm kind of mad all the time, I think sometimes, like, you know, people are always saying, oh, tell me how you really feel. And I'm like, oh, okay, was that too animated for you? But really underneath it, I'm not really pissed off. There are some things that really do piss me off. And usually when that happens, it's because I've held back all this other crap. You know, like, let's say I'm holding back something from you, Faye. Like, I don't know what. You won't ever let me plan a day.
Just hypothetically speaking.
Hypothetically, actually. Why don't we get together? Okay, well, let me plan that day. And you're like, okay, sure, Brenda. And then I get up here and we do everything you want to do. Whatever. I don't know where I get that idea. Anyway, but let's say I've been holding that back. And then finally, like, that was really burning underneath. It's not. Yeah. But you would say it was really burning me. And then something else completely different comes up. I wore my shoes upstairs. And you just happen to say something like, Brenda, how many times do I have to ask you not to wear shoes in my house? Which I'm wearing shoes in our house right now. And that might make me go, in my head, he's like, are you fucking kidding me? You never let me decide what we're doing on my days off. If I want to wear my goddamn fucking shoes in your house, I'm going to do it. Is that when you snap, or what are you thinking when you're snapping? Like, I've been putting up with all your shit, and now I can't hear the goddamn weather. Would you two shut up?
Another hypothetical
that
situation.
Was a hypothetical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you know what? I don't think I think about anything. It must be a subconscious piling on of all the. So the thing is getting me this and that and the noise and the shoes and the dirt and the dog hair and the, the dominoes fall on the table and that just sets me off without even thinking. Like, I don't feel like I mentally go, that's it, and then explode. I think I just explode and then think later on, well, there must be a lot going on to make me explode.
How would you feel if you were around somebody who did that? You tend to surround yourself with pretty mild-mannered people. I don't know if you've noticed that. I mean, mostly.
Yeah.
I mean, your husband's very mild-mannered.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty mild-mannered.
Yeah.
Well, I don't get mad at you.
No.
I don't, you know, I go with the flow pretty easily.
Yes.
How would you feel if, say I was more like that,
I don't think I couldn't put up with people like that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't tolerate that. I mean, I don't mind if someone gets mad once in a while. That's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, Mr. Anderson, gets mad at me once in a while, and he has every right to, because I create some tension. Sometimes. So, yeah. But I wouldn't, I mean, if I had the ability to avoid people like that, I probably would avoid it if they're always like that.
How do you think that would make you feel if you're sitting at the dining room table talking, chatting with your friend, and then, or I was sitting here, you were talking with Mr. Anderson, and I wanted to see who Canada's worst driver was, and I couldn't hear it. And I was like, Jesus Christ, can you fucking snip, can you guys just zip it for 1 second? How would you feel if, unprovoked, somebody just told you to shut up?
I would go, what's wrong with her?
I know it's your house. That would be highly inappropriate. Say you two are at my house.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're getting at. I think I would go, I would feel bad. I would feel, who the fuck do you think you are?
Right.
And then I would probably also feel bad because I've done something, but I don't understand what I've done wrong.
Like, your mere existence is more than that person could tolerate at the time? Would that be something you would think?
I wouldn't think that.
That's good.
I would think that someone's having a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, that's that what do you feel about that energy, like that kind of like I heard, I've heard a lesbian talking about, like, when she was married to a man or something, like, the energy in the house was way different than when it was just her and her girlfriend, or, like, because they were more mellow and whatever.
Yeah.
What do you think about, I guess I've gotten off the topic, but I wondered if that energy had heightened, that hostility had heightened since all this has been going on.
No. I talk about this compartmentalization.
Which I don't think is very healthy, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, I have the ability to take the box off the shelf and open up the contents and look and feel those feelings and then put them away and park them for a while.
Everybody does that. Like, I think everybody does that. Like, even today, I was looking at my pictures of my two dogs up on the wall, and I was thinking to myself, two best dogs in the world right there. And I started feeling myself get emotional, and then I was just like, no, I'm not dealing with that right now.
Good for you.
So, I mean, I think everybody has that ability, but I don't think it's healthy to not to process your feelings. You can't put that off forever.
But it's not putting it off.
Yeah.
It's like through this whole process, I haven't been sitting on the couch and weeping for the last 3 months. I've been carrying on with my life and doing the things, keeping up my responsibilities.
Right.
But I don't, because I'm not openly going, hey guys, I'm really sad about having to pick a job, losing my job. I don't process it like that every day or every minute of the day.
Right.
I think about things when I have a moment to myself. I think about things when I'm at work and when I, you know, dispatch out a 70-year-old female fall downstairs. I go, boy, I'm not going to do that very much more.
Mm.
You know, stuff like that.
Right. Well, you do have several more months to
yeah.
to do the job.
Another 6 months at least.
Yeah. For me, it has been like interesting because I could see through this, you know, the fake facade that you put up. I could just, like I said, I could see it in your eyes. I could hear it in your voice. Because you have always said, I'm going to carry on with my life. That's one of your phrases. I should get a t-shirt for you. It says, I'm going to carry on with my life. But I could tell that this was something that was making you pause.
Well, I think because, you know, I've been fired from jobs and lost jobs and jobs have been sold and stuff. So I've had many opportunities where I've had to change my working focus, my career or my job or whatever.
But you've been on a good run for a long time where things have kind of been just falling into place as you've wanted them.
Right.
I mean, you've had people come into your life, cause you little hiccups here. But when it comes down to it, you're like, hey, Mr. Anderson, you want to go to Hawaii? Yes, I do. So you end up going. Or, hey, I'm going to buy a new car. Yes, I am going to buy a new car. So, I mean...
No, I know. My life hasn't been difficult by any means. But I think what I'm trying to say is this particular one is because I finally found something that I'm really quite passionate about and really enjoy. And there's an emotional attachment for me to the group of firemen that I work with that has made this job much more important than any other jobs I've had. Because I feel a responsibility to the crew and to those guys, my friends, I'll call them, and that is being taken away from me, and that's probably more so. I'm more upset about that, and losing a job that I felt I was doing a really good, putting in a really good effort. And that is what has raised the stakes for me.
But the beauty is you are still going to be at the fire station. You're still going to see these guys on a different level. I mean, who knows, you know, with your different hours, you might be available to see these people more socially. I mean, yes. You're still going to be around them. It's not like you're going to work for, you know.
In the dungeon. Yeah, well, you say that, but I don't buy it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm just speculating that they'll still be around. You're not leaving the station.
No, I know, but...
I know it's different. Don't get mad.
I'm not mad, but I think I'm allowed to be a little bit sad.
Yeah. No doubt about it. All right.
I'm done being sad, though. Let's get on with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to carry on with my life.
I'm going to get you a t-shirt that says that. Let us end this episode with a busy mom sighting.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, you know when you... This is completely different, right? So when you're listening to the radio, you have news, weather, and sports. Well, this is the lighthearted section.
Yes, right on.
Okay, so I was watching one of those videos on my iPad that's like from BuzzFeed.
Oh, yeah.
Where they speed up food and blah, blah, blah. You know, like they'll make a, like, oh, look, doesn't this look delicious? And they make a tortilla. Well, this was something for kids. And it says... Do you get tired of making lunches every day? And then it showed the set of hands moving around and making ham sandwiches. Wrapped it up. And then cheese sticks and apple slices and whatever. And then they took out a refrigerator drawer and put all the sandwiches in one corner and all the cheese sticks in another and da-da-da-da-da. And then they got another drawer and it says... full of yogurt and fruit cups and blah, 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 blah. And then they showed how, like, they put a sticker on it and said lunch. Another one that said snacks. And then they showed a little kid toddling up to this refrigerator with about four of these drawers with his bag going, I'll take a sandwich and I'll take this. And then, yeah.
Wow.
And I just thought, this is naughty. It was nauseating to me. To think that a person had a large enough refrigerator where they could section off giant parts of it just for fucking lunches. But I just thought, what is life become that the basics of life are so convenient that they are not even convenient enough? We have to make them even more convenient. Yes, we have sliced meat and bread and the mayonnaise. All it is right there. You just got to put it together. No, I can't do that every day. I got to have it all put together so my kid can, I don't know, feelings, thoughts.
Well, this does sound a little extreme. But what if you're a Mormon mother and you have 11 children? And they all need lunches.
Well, yeah.
So, I mean, I could see that being a value in that for that particular Mormon mother. But, yeah, that's what I would call super anal.
Let's go look in your refrigerator. Oh, busy moms. Anyway. Faye, is there anything you want to say to wrap it up?
I don't know. I want to thank everybody for listening. Yeah, I don't know. That's it. Do you have anything to say?
Pardon me. I want to say that I'm proud of you. I don't know what that means.
Thanks.
I said it in the past. You inspire me in so many weird little ways that you never realize because I've never really had anybody around me that is so basically positive person who is caring and considerate of those around him and does the right thing and has attention to detail to make sure other people around him are happy. So I've really been worried about you. This is the hardest thing I've ever seen you go through in our friendship. And I'm proud of you for what you're doing and how you've taken it on. And I think you should feel good about yourself. You're a good person. I'm sorry this happened.
Thank you, Brenda. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll take it in stride.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll continue to be positive. And we'll be there for each other like we've always been.
Mm-hmm. Now shut up. I'm trying to listen to the weather.
You can email us at fayandbrenda@gmail.com.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.